Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. Today we return to the book of Acts, so let's read Acts 21. After we had torn ourselves away from them, we sailed directly to Kos, and the next day on to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. Finding a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, we boarded it and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing south of it, we sailed on to Syria and landed at Tyre, where the ship was to unload its cargo. We sought out the disciples in Tyre and stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they kept telling Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. But when our time there had ended, we set out on our journey. All the disciples with their wives and children accompanied us out of the city and knelt down on the beach to pray with us. And after we had said our farewells, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. When we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we went on to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the 7. He had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied. After we had been there several days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, 'In this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and hand him over to the Gentiles.' When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' When he would not be dissuaded, we quieted down and said, 'The Lord's will be done.' After these days, we packed up and went to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us, and they took us to stay at the home of Mnason the Cypriot, an early disciple. When we arrived in Jerusalem, the brothers welcomed us joyfully. The next day, Paul went in with us to see James, and all the elders were present. Paul greeted them and recounted one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they glorified God. Then they said to Paul, 'You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. But they are under the impression that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or observe our customs. What then should we do? They will certainly hear that you have come. Therefore, do what we advise you. There are 4 men with us who have taken a vow. Take these men, purify yourself along with them, and pay their expenses so they can have their heads shaved. Then everyone will know that there is no truth to these rumors about you, but that you also live in obedience to the law. As for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that they must abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality." So the next day Paul took the men and purified himself along with them. Then he entered the temple to give notice of the day when their purification would be complete, and the offering would be made for each of them. When the 7 days were almost over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help us! This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and against our law and against this place. Furthermore, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with him in the city, and they assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. The whole city was stirred up, and the people rushed together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, the commander of the Roman regiment received a report that all Jerusalem was in turmoil. Immediately, he took some soldiers and centurions and ran down to the crowd. When the people saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. the commander came up and arrested Paul, ordering that he be bound with two chains. Then he asked who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing and some another, and since the commander could not get at the truth because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be brought into the barracks. When Paul reached the steps, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob, for the crowd that followed him kept shouting, "Away with him!" As they were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander, "May I say something to you?" "Do you speak Greek?" he replied. "Aren't you the Egyptian who incited a rebellion some time ago and led 4,000 members of the assassins into the wilderness?" But Paul answered, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Now I beg you to allow me to speak to the people." Having received permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. A great hush came over the crowd, and he addressed them in Hebrew. This is God's word. It has been a while since we read Acts 20. So, when Acts 21 began with these words, "After we had torn ourselves away from them," we need to be reminded that Paul had been speaking to the elders from Ephesus at the end of Acts 20. That's what Luke means in chapter 21 when he says we had torn ourselves away from them. It was those elders that Paul was talking to from Ephesus in Acts 20. Paul was completing his third missionary journey and was on his way to Jerusalem with the money collected from the Gentile churches for the Jewish believers struggling in poverty in Jerusalem. Here in Acts 21, we read repeated warnings for Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Verse 4 said that the disciples in Tyre told him not to go. Through the Spirit, verse 4 says, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. Verses 10 and 11 told us that in Caesarea, a prophet named Agabus, quote, took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and hand him over to the Gentiles." And that's from the NIV. Verse 12 recounted how Luke and the other traveling companions of Paul and the Caesarean believers begged Paul to change his mind. Verse 12 said, "We and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem." This is a tough situation to interpret. All these people were speaking to Paul through the Spirit, as verse 4 says. So it would seem that Paul went to Jerusalem in spite of God's revealed will. Yet, back in chapter 20, when speaking to the Ephesian elders, Paul said that he was compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. That's in chapter 20, verse 22a. Paul also knew that the result of his going would be personally painful. He said these words, continuing in that verse, "Not knowing what will happen to me there, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." And again, that was back in chapter 20, verse 22b and verse 23. So, given all this warning, all this prophecy from the Holy Spirit, what caused Paul to keep going? Acts 20:24 says this, again from the NIV. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." And also here in Acts 21, Paul said, "I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." That was in verse 13 of the NIV. Paul's motives for going were pure and righteous to the glory of God. The warnings about suffering, then, must have been to prepare him and the churches so that they would not lose faith in God when Paul was arrested. And sure enough, he was arrested, as we saw in verse 33. We'll see in the chapters to come what the results of that arrest were. For now, though, we should reflect on the warnings in Scripture. The Bible tells us that the way of following Christ is a narrow way. It tells us that there are few who who go that way, so we will be in an uncomfortable minority throughout life if we follow Christ. Other passages in the Bible tell us that following Christ means dying to ourselves, and that it will cost some disciples their families, their homes, their inheritance on earth, and even their own lives. These warnings were not given to tell us not to follow Jesus. They were written to prepare us in advance for the costs of following him. So don't be surprised or unhappy with God when being a Christian costs you something. Instead, understand that you are on the right path, because what is happening to you is exactly what God said would happen to his children. So trust God to do his will. That's alluded to in verse 14b. Trust God to do his will in and with your life. If you found this devotional helpful, maybe you should go to my website, dailypbj.com/subscribe, and subscribe to them as an audio podcast, or subscribe to them by email, so that every day you can be in God's Word every day, prompted by the new podcast release or the daily email. And if you'd like to support me financially, go to dailypbj.com/support. Please share this with someone else, and I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.